In this episode, we're joined by Dr. Shivani Pasricha, Laboratory Head at the Peter Doherty Institute for Infection and Immunity. Dr. Pasricha leads innovative work in rapid point-of-care diagnostics for infectious diseases, with a particular interest in sexually transmitted infections and cutting-edge technologies such as CRISPR. Her work uses molecular and genomic approaches to transform how we detect, prevent, and monitor infectious diseases. We're so happy to have Dr. Shivani Pasricha join us to talk today about the Doherty Institute's exciting new point-of-care test and how this innovative diagnostic technology has the potential to transform infectious disease detection by delivering faster, more accessible testing where it's needed most. For Health Equity Matters, you're listening to HIV Australia. I'm Andrea Kindinger. In this episode today, we will hear from Dr. Shivani Pasricha from the Doherty Institute about their incredible new point-of-care STI test that can diagnose syphilis, herpes simplex virus, chlamydia and gonorrhea in under an hour. Good morning, Shivani. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, thanks so much for the invitation. I'm excited to be here.
It's great to have you here. As we get started today, I'd just like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the lands on which we're meeting from today. For me, that is the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation. I would like to extend my respects to elders past, present, and emerging. These lands were never ceded, always was, always will be Aboriginal land. Shivani, thank you again so much for joining us. It's awesome to have you here talking about the Doherty's new point of care test. So as we get started, could you tell us a little bit about the new STI point of care test?
Sure. So using technology known as CRISPR, which you've mentioned, we have developed a diagnostic test that can detect the DNA or the RNA of the bacteria or viruses that causes a particular STI on a portable device in under an hour. As you mentioned, it can detect the pathogens that cause gonorrhea, chlamydia, syphilis, and herpes simplex virus, as well as a marker for antimicrobial resistance in Neisseria gonorrhea. We're really excited that it's showing promising performance on self-collected samples like urines and swabs.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for that. Sounds really exciting and actually a big step forward in testing. So I'd love to hear a little bit now about how this all began. So can you take us back to the beginning of this work? What gap or unmet need were you trying to address? And how has the journey unfolded from the concept to where you are now?
So as you know, in Australia and the world at large, we are seeing increasing cases of bacterial STIs. And sadly, these are infections disproportionately impact remote and low resource settings and our Indigenous communities. So while the reasons for this are multifactorial and complex, we do know that a major contributor is limited access to timely diagnosis. And a reason for this, at least in Australia, is that the majority of accurate testing relies on centralized labs that use expensive machinery and specialized personnel. So as a consequence, it can take weeks to receive results and treatments can be delayed. So there's a real need for tests that can be performed on site at the point of care. And that's really where our story began. We wanted to apply new technologies that broke the barriers that could be used where individuals are and would ultimately allow us to both test and treat patients in a single visit. So this would really allow for faster treatment and it would prevent transmission and health complications through delays. In the process, we wanted to develop tests that reflected the specific challenges for each infection. We really used the umbrella term STIs, but actually each STI is caused by distinct pathogens with different contexts and considerations. So, for example, there is growing evidence to show that syphilis can be misdiagnosed as herpes simplex virus due to similar symptoms. So our diagnostic test actually tests, that's why we are testing for syphilis and herpes together in a single test to prevent this kind of misdiagnosis. I guess to answer your question about how the journey is unfolding from concept to where we are now, it really started with multiple painful years in the lab, with a lot of trial and error, getting to know how to use this technology, understanding what it was capable and actually not capable of doing to get the best performance we could get so that we could detect even low levels of infection and at the same time prevent false positive results when maybe a different infection was present. After all of this development by a really amazing team that works behind the scenes, the development really began to take shape through incredible collaborations. And these collaborations were with included the Victorian Infectious Disease Reference Laboratory that provided hundreds of residual clinical samples to validate and interrogate performance in, I guess, an unbiased fashion. And also a significant collaboration with clinician researchers at the Melbourne Sexual Health Centre, that they really helped shape the assay use. So ensuring that the tests we were developing are actually clinically relevant and align with current diagnostic workflows.
That's great. Thank you so much for that. It sounds like it's been a really incredible collaborative effort, and you've done wonderful work. And it was so interesting actually to hear that the misdiagnosis between syphilis and herpes simplex virus. I wasn't aware of that actually. So that brings great value to having both those conditions within the one test. So you've already touched on this in your previous answer a little bit, but from a community perspective, could you tell us a little bit about what this innovation could mean for people most affected by syphilis and other STIs?
Sure. So I guess if we take syphilis as an example, currently syphilis diagnosis and treatment requires multiple visits and multiple testing algorithms. So this presents huge barriers for community, and this is magnified in regional and remote settings. So for those affected by these STIs, innovations like the ones we've described could ultimately lead to fast treatment and so reduced health risks, reduced anxiety around waiting for results, potentially less tension around sexual behaviors and partner discussions. And although dry, very important, reduce logistical barriers to loss to follow up.
Yeah, definitely. And so thinking more about access to testing then, the test is portable and designed for point of care use. How could this improve access in community settings, particularly in rural, remote, or underserved areas?
Yeah, so the hope is that it would be transformative, bringing equitable diagnostic testing across communities. Ultimately, delivering results in hours versus days or weeks would be huge. It's a genuine effort to not force remote communities to conform, but rather to try and enable and empower them with tools that suit their lifestyle and are context specific.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for that. So access is one piece to testing, but we also know that there are sort of social barriers to testing as well. Stigma and fear can be major barriers to STI testing. Do you see rapid point of care testing helping to reduce these barriers? And if so, how?
Well, I certainly hope so. I think we really underestimate the obstacles one can face just to come and see the doctor in the first place. Certainly, when the reasons for testing, particularly for STIs, are coupled with non-consensual relationships, these challenges can be magnified and quite complex. So, to be able to get tested and make an action plan right away is empowering. A number of people can come for their initial test and don't make it back for their result visits. I certainly have a stockpile of blood results waiting for me to go back to the doctor that I haven't got around to doing. This is just the real world. But I will also add that the true power of point of care tests more generally is that they can be performed within the community setting where individuals can feel safer, whether that be in a women's support clinic, for example, or a pop-up clinic led by one's own community. So I certainly hope that what our efforts are moving in that direction.
Yeah, that's wonderful and a really, really important point when we think about equity and uptake. So thank you so much for that. So what are the next steps then, and the anticipated timeline for progressing this technology from research into real world clinical or community settings?
Yeah, till now, all the tests have been performed in the lab. So we are really excited by the next steps where we are going into field tests at the Melbourne Sexual Health Centre, as well as Clinic 34 in Darwin. So through these studies, we will start to answer really exciting questions like how user-friendly is the test truly, and generate the evidence package for really evaluating potential health and economical benefits.
And what role do community organisations, peer networks, and local health services have in supporting implementation and ensuring this reaches the people who would benefit most?
I honestly think that community organizations are doing a fantastic job already of spreading the word that we need more needs to be done to prevent STIs and to support those at high risk. Employing new diagnostics in general takes a shift to the current paradigm, and it's going to require advocacy from community, stating that new approaches are what communities actually want and need. Beyond being vocal, being involved in the research itself is also incredibly powerful. We're always looking for community advisors and sites that want to explore these tests' utility, especially within this research stage, so that we can, whatever we take forward in the long run, is ultimately the most relevant and powerful for everyone involved.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that community-led impact could be really powerful for this type of testing program. So then, where do you see this technology heading in the future? And what possibilities do you think it opens up for point of care STI testing more broadly?
Yeah, so the application of CRISPR technology for diagnostics has really gained momentum in the last 5 to 10 years. The Broad Institute in the US were the first to, I guess, pioneer this application. But we're seeing its power across both infectious disease detection and chronic disease detection. And the real difference of this technology lies in the fact that we're now detecting specific regions of DNA or RNA. For us, in infectious diseases, that's the pathogen's DNA or RNA directly, rather than measuring the human's response to infection. And so this inherently holds a lot of potential utility. In the context of STIs, I see its real power actually coming from the detection of antimicrobial resistance. Currently, whether or not the bacterial strain you're infected with is resistant to a certain antibiotic relies heavily on sending your sample to the lab, then trying to grow the bacteria via culture on plates. This is quite labor intensive. It doesn't always work. And so there are actually very few technologies like CRISPR that can detect gene mutation signatures on the DNA or RNA that are associated with antimicrobial resistance in the lab, let alone at the point of care. So the use of CRISPR for this purpose has the potential of being quite powerful to improve treatment stewardship, especially in multi-drug resistance continues to rise for STIs like Neisseria gonorrhea. That's really where I see its unique power.
That's wonderful, Shivani. Thank you so much for joining us and for sharing your insights into this exciting new point of care STI test. It's been really fascinating to hear how the technology works, the journey behind it, and the clear need that it's responding to. I think what really stands out is the potential impact for communities, particularly those who face the greatest barriers to testing. So having a rapid, portable test that can deliver results in under an hour could make a real difference for improving access, especially in rural, remote, and underserved settings. Congratulations to you and the team at the Doherty Institute. It's a really promising and exciting step forward for more accessible, equitable, and responsive sexual health care. Thank you so much, Shivani, for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, and thank you for showing interest in our research.
Oh, we're so interested and can't wait to see where this goes. So thank you again. And finally, thank you to all of our listeners. We hope you have enjoyed this episode of HIV Australia. Wishing you a lovely rest of the day. Thank you. Bye.